was thinking about today and thinking about this graduation season. And really, there's a message for all of us in this. So whether you're graduating from high school, graduating from college, graduating from seminary, or you're just graduating to tomorrow, there's a lot to learn from the scripture about how to face the future and how to think about the future. But I was thinking about, in particular, our seniors and what they're facing today and what they're dealing with. You know, sometimes when we think about graduation and all the ceremonies that go on with it, it's so easy for us to think about it as the ending, the end of a course of study, and that is to be celebrated, but it's really a beginning. In fact, Orrin Hatch put it this way: there's a good reason they call these ceremonies commencement exercises. Graduation is not the end, it's the beginning. So I started doing a little calculating. I couldn't take into effect every situation with COVID-19 that many of you have not been in class since March, but I do want you to think about all that you have invested over the last 13 years, K-5 through 12th grade for those high school graduates. You've attended approximately 2,470 days of school, 494 weeks of classes, 17,290 hours of instruction. In fact, that results in 1,037,400 minutes invested in your education. All that means work. So again, this is true for some and probably not true for others. Those that are diligent in study, this is what you've done. You've invested 4,940 hours of homework. You've probably written 247 papers. You've taken 2,964 quizzes or tests, and hopefully you have passed them. All in all, you have listened to 31,122,000 words of instruction from your teachers. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? Well, when you think about it, this is not the end. This is just the beginning of your life. And for each of us, it's the today is the beginning of the rest of our life. So when you think about those things, I think there's some things that we can learn from others. In fact, we don't need to stop learning. Newton Baker said this way: the man who graduates today and stops learning tomorrow is uneducated the day after. Milton Berle, I love this quote: if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. And what you've been doing over the last 13 years is building a door one day at a time, one class at a time, one test at a time, one homework assignment at a time. And now you're standing at the open door ready to walk through. And there's some things that all of us need to know about these doors that come before us. One, they only open one way. You don't go back through. You can't live in the past. The past is a great place to learn, but it is a terrible place to live. And so we're moving forward. It only opens one way. It only opens one time. This is the last time we'll live this day, and then a new day comes. This is the last time that you'll celebrate graduation from high school, but then the next phase comes. And it opens up a very big world. And here's the question when you think about it. As you walk through the doors, you take a view of your future. Which way are you going to go? What are you going to do when you walk through it? How are you going to live? What kind of person are you going to be? And I'm not a fortune teller. I can't tell you what you're going to do, what classes you're going to take, what school you're going to attend, what you're going to graduate with a degree in. In fact, but the truth is, most students don't either. It's amazing how many of us change our majors through the course of college, or we shift professions during the course of life. And so none of us really know all of those things, but I do want to give you one directional sign to help keep your life on the right path, and that's the most important thing. Listen, being comes before doing. Who you are matters more than what you do in this life. And so the real question is this: as you walk into the future, what kind of person are you going to be? What are you going to live for? Who's going to hold your heart? What's going to drive your passions? And the fact is, the scripture gives us great instruction. And I want to just give you one directional sign for the future. And it comes from one of my favorite verses in the Proverbs, Proverbs 4, verse 23. In the ESV, it says this: keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The NIV, New International Version, puts it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. The New Living Translation says it this way: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Years ago, I read this little poem, and I've kept it in my mind because every new day it makes me think about how I'm going to live. This is what it says: the future lies before you like a field of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. That just goes right along with the instruction that's given in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it's one of those verses we can really just keep close to our soul and remind us every day that we've got to be careful to guard our hearts, because everything else flows from it. Now, how do we do that? I just want to give you two insights. First, stand on your knees. Make sure you stand on your knees. And second, walk in the Word. Or actually, I wrote those down different. Walk in the Word. The verses that precede Proverbs 4:23 tell us the value of God's Word. So every day, walk in the Word. One of the habits that I've gotten to in my own life is listening to God's Word the very first thing when I get up in the morning. Just spending time listening to God's Word, reading God's Word, memorizing God's Word. I hear a lot of things during the day, but the most important thing I hear is God's voice. We need to hear it. And then the next thing, stand on your knees. Every day, devote yourself to prayer and talk to God. And that, with those two things, God will guide your heart and guard your heart with the goodness of His grace. And that'll take you far into the future, so that every day in every way, God's glorified in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your love for us. And Father, as we stop today and just think about the lives of those that are graduating from high school and college and seminary, the doors that are open before them, the next steps in their life, God, we pray that You will indeed guide them through every phase of life. We do pray that their hearts will stay surrendered to You, focused on bringing honor and glory to Your name. And we also pray that You would give them the discipline and diligence every day to walk in Your Word and to stand on their knees. Be faithful in prayer. And Lord, I pray that through the work of Your Holy Spirit, the power and authority of Your Word, Your divine commission for their life, You will use them every day to lift high the name of Jesus and to make the glorious news of Your salvation known. Whatever their course of study, whatever their vocation in life, whatever their family situation, use them, use their lives to lift high the name of Jesus. And we'll give You praise for what You do in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm Mark. I'm youth pastor here, and here for Senior Sunday. Such a big deal. Normally, the seniors would have all been awkwardly lined up right here. I'm sure they're really missing that moment where they all line up, and then they realize, oh, we got to scoot over. And so that's a bummer, but we did get to see a lot of you guys this weekend, and we're so happy for you guys. It's been a very odd year, and if anything, it's just let you know the rest of life is going to be a little like this. You're going to make your plans, you're going to do your thing, you're going to pray, and then stuff's going to happen, and then you turn out at the end of it and know that God was still with you all the way through it. Reagan, I'll get it. So I want to talk to you guys about a scripture that we built the name of the student ministry on. Thrive Student Ministries is built on Psalm chapter 1, and it says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Not where he goes on Sunday, but his delight is in God's word. And that guy, that lady, is going to end up being just like a tree planted by streams of water. They're going to yield fruit in its season. And our youth group had taken a trip and saw a giant tree in Alabama, a 300-year-old tree between two rivers. And the guy was telling that the farmer that was from the town was explaining oak trees and saying, you know, if you look under the surface of an oak tree, there are just as many roots as there are limbs. And it took about 10 of my guys to reach around the trunk of this tree. And while we were imagining what the root system had to look like between two rivers, we started seeing what Psalm 1 was all about. You've got to dig your roots deep. You can do a lot of stuff above the surface, but when life hits you like it has now, what's under the surface is the only thing that keeps you standing, right? Everything else you build your life on, things that you're counting on or you're planning on, wind and weather can change that. But what's under the surface is what you've planted in and God's planted into you. That stuff holds you together, right? And I was thinking about the tree and growth and drawing Jesus in and pouring him into other people and thinking about fruit. One of the things that I've been telling our students since they were in sixth grade. You know, it's kind of weird to watch the graduate video because I'm like, oh, man, it was great being their youth pastor. And I see the college graduates, and I go, oh, it was great being their youth pastor. Then the Mother's Day baby dedication happens. I'm like, ha, it was great being their youth pastor. I'm old. So, but I wanted to read you guys a verse about fruit that everybody knows. It's in the book of Galatians. If you've got your Bible on you, or if it's in, if you have to have one on your phone, I guess that's the way to do it. But go analog. It's the way to go. Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit verse comes from Galatians. And I want to read it to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against things there is no law. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. It says that is the fruit of the Spirit, which is a whole other talk, right? But the fact that it's the fruit of the Spirit is what we've got to remember as believers. It's not the fruit of Mark. And I can't tell you how many times I've come into the church or sat down to a Bible study and been really inspired by the fruit I see in someone else's life, the fruit that I see in the words that they say. And I see someone, that guy has such good self-control. There's such fruit coming out of him. And I will be inspired by that. And I will decide, I think I'm going to be self-controlled today too. And what I try to do is something that's impossible to do. And the book of Galatians was all about it. You had a bunch of people who started off with Jesus and then started doing it, trying to do it themselves. Yeah? And what we've been pouring into you as you've been growing up in the youth ministry, and we're praying for you as you go into college, is you understand that you cannot hang fruit. Doesn't happen. You can hang ornaments. You can be inspired by a moment, and you can try to add it to your day. But me being really fired up by Pastor Tim or Pastor Trey's joy or self-control, that's great. But the day I think I can just go, oh, I like that. I'm gonna do that today. I'm going to have joy today. Doggone it. I'm going to post some good vibes. It's going to be great. And I'm just going to be that today. What we learn is that ornaments look great, but the moment life hits them, poof, they all fall off. The only thing that seems to last are the things that come from inside. And it's not Mark that comes out if it's good. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes out, right? So what we've got to do is we head into a new season, seniors, college graduates, moms and dads, we've got to know that I need to be planting into my new life. It's called the new life for a reason. It's new, and you're not very good at it. You know what you're really good at? Your old life. You rock at it. You're the best at your old life, right? So living this new life is going to be a whole new website. That's why we got to let God remind us who we are. That's why we have to have God remind us who he is. And the more we draw him in, then fruit starts to happen. You can't go fruit. All you can do is surrender to God and say, all right, Lord, this is your day. I need you. I can't do this day without you. And as I surrender to moments, as I surrender to conversations with professors, if I surrender to new job bosses, in those moments when I surrender to him, my first instinct isn't going to come out, right? Suddenly, God's got a little bit more control. He starts coming out in the way I handle people, the way I make decisions about where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do. When God starts affecting the way you live, that's how you know you've got fruit happening. If you keep having to go here to find an instruction to tell you if you're okay or not with what you want to do, that's an ornament, right? So I need to draw from Jesus where I'm going in my next season. And I need to ask God to give me moments to show him to others with the way I live. Cool? We're praying that for you. And listen, one of the ways you also know you're growing is when you're pouring into other people. Spiritually mattering to somebody else is big. Spiritually mattering to other people grows you up. When you start pouring into other people and suddenly you're needed, remember when Paul in Philippians was like, I'm so done, I just want to go, but you guys need me. I'm staying strong because I'm staying with you, right? Man. If all we do is sit and soak, it doesn't go anywhere, right? So as you move into your new season, my friends, just remember, draw him in through worship, through prayer, through his word, through fellowship with other believers, and then look for those moments. God, how can I let you have this day? And fruit starts to happen. I wrote this into a song because that's what I do. And I wanted the students to be able to remember the idea of digging deep and reaching out. So we came up with this little song called Thrive. And look, everybody up here, we know some of you are singing, some of you, maybe a lot of you, just kind of chilling on the couch. I'm calling you out right here and now. Sing this with me. Are you ready?
Here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry.
Right, sing it out, remember it.
So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our soul with one desire.
Come on.
Just to know you. Into your world we're reaching out to know the Father's heart.
It just makes me more lovable that I don't know my own songs. You ready?
Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are.
It's living water. How's it go?
Living water flowing through. God, we thirst for more of Bill.
Let me hear you sing it.
Just to know you and to make you known, lift your name on high, and shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide.
What do we know?
'Cause we know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to than just survive. We were made to thrive.
All right, it's the bridge. There's only three things to remember in this bridge. What do we got? We got joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, and love unstoppable. Maybe you got three people in your room right now. Maybe you got more. We need three groups. We need a joy unspeakable group, faith unsinkable group, love unstoppable group. If you're not a singer, no excuse, just say it, right? Just know that you should say it happy. You don't want to go joy unspeakable. So put a little something in there. Everybody in the house is watching you. Are you ready? Nobody can do this but you. Who's going to be unspeakable? Who in your house is unspeakable? Let's leave that there. Who in your house is unsinkable? Call it. You ready? Okay. Who's unstoppable? Yes. Are we ready? Let's try this.
Joy unspeakable.
Anything.
Anything is possible. Joy, faith, love.
Are you doing it?
Anything is possible. Joy unspeakable. Faith unsinkable. Love unstoppable. Joy unspeakable. Faith unsinkable. Love unstoppable. Anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high and shine like the sun, make darkness fun and high.
Come on, keep going.
'Cause we know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just.
We saved it to the end.
Oh,
Well, congratulations, graduates. I'm sure that this has been a very strange season for you, but I do hope that you're extremely excited about the next chapter of your life. You know, graduation gives you all the feels, doesn't it? I mean, you experience all sorts of emotions, all kinds of different emotions surface during this time of the year. I know that your life may feel like a walking paradox right now. Many of you, I know that was my experience 20 years ago when I graduated high school. Your excitement for the next chapter of your life is combined now with fear. Opportunities of new beginnings are blurred with uncertain endings. Your ambitions, dreams, even your plans are being riddled with uncertainty. It's true that stepping into college, maybe for some of you stepping into adulthood, it can be and it should be a scary thought. You know, Pastor Tim just a moment ago, Mark just a moment ago, they taught you how to pursue Jesus and what it means to anchor your lives deeply in his word. And not only to do that, but to chase hard after him each and every day of your life. And there's one thing that I want you to know this morning, and that is this, is that on your journey of pursuing Christ, there will be many highs and there will be many lows. Mark talked about that just a second ago. There's going to be moments in your life of great joy, but there's also going to be moments in your life of deep pain. You can expect, in fact, you can anticipate many trials. You can expect and you can anticipate much pruning. Each and every one of you at some point in your life will be tested. Your faith will be tested. On this journey, you need to know that you will mess up. You will make mistakes. But if you continue to press into the gospel, God will use that mess up. He'll use that mistake for your good, for his glory. And at the end of it, you'll grow and you'll mature a lot. You know, when we used to deal with college students in our college ministry back in the day, there was one particular verse that constantly came to mind. One verse that I always found myself sharing was especially with college students. And that was found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says this, "And I am sure of this." Paul's saying, if there's anything that I have confidence in, I have confidence in this. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, well, he'll be faithful to complete it. My translation says it this way, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. There's a few practical things, really practical advice that I want to share with you this morning in hopes that you'll use it in the days ahead. The first thing that I want you to know is this, your friends may leave you, but God is always present. Your friends, they may leave you, but God is always present. Stepping into college or maybe even adulthood can fill you with much fear. It can fill you with loneliness. It is a scary, scary thought. In fact, it feels like someone grabbed you, put a blindfold around your eyes, spun you around 10 times quickly in a circle, and then unfolded or removed the blindfold and then told you to walk a straight line. That's hard. In fact, for some of you, that's impossible. You would feel sick if that happened to you. And in many cases, that's exactly what some people feel like emotionally when they graduate high school or even they graduate college. You feel like you're headed in one direction and all of your friends that you spent the past 4 years with, they're headed in a totally different direction as you. You feel like they're leaving you. And that to you feels like your life is spinning out of control. But I want to encourage you this morning that even though your friends may leave you, and even though you may feel like you're leaving your friends, there's one truth that remains. God is always present. The Bible tells us that he'll never leave us and that he'll never forsake us. In fact, it goes further to say this, that if you'll continue to draw near to him, he says he will indeed draw near to you. So when you experience that emotion that feels like all of your friends are going in a different direction as you, remember that there's one constant. There's one person who's steady. There's one whose presence you can always count on. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your friends may leave you, but first, God is always present. The second thing that I hope that you'll heed is this. Your plans in life may change, but God doesn't. Your plans in life may change, but God doesn't. Some of you, you're planners. You know who I'm talking about. You're sitting right now in the living room of your home, and you're laughing because you know that your child, your son, or your daughter is an extreme planner. Others of you, you have no clue what this looks like. You're spontaneous, you never plan anything, and you just kind of go with the flow. But for those of you who are planners, you already know exactly which degree you're going to pursue. In fact, even further than that, you know what school you're going to go to, you know who's your roommate, where you're going to live. You have all your life planned out. You even have after school planned out. You know what job you're going to land after you graduate college. You know what guy or what girl that you hope or want to marry. You know where you want to live and how many kids that you have. And then what happens? Well, life happens. And all of your plans start crumbling. You change your degree 10 times before you graduate. That company that you always thought that you would work for, they don't hire you. Or maybe they go out of business. That guy, that girl that you've pursued and you've given all of your life to, well, now all of a sudden they break up with you. Can I encourage you with something today? Your plans may falter, they will, but God's vision for your life is secure. You can trust that, your plans may falter, but God's vision for your life is secure. Remember the verse I shared just a moment ago, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. The work that he is now doing, no matter how good or how bad you may think it is the work of the Lord to make you into the image of his son. His plan for your life will always prevail. He is a constant God. He never changes. Hebrews 13 says it this way. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, not only is God constant, but something else you need to know is that God is for you. He's not against you. So no matter if the plans that you had for your life, they don't prevail, they don't work out the way that you always thought that they should, you can trust that God's plan for your life, he has for you. It's not to work against you. He's doing this for your good, and he's doing it for his glory. So your plans in life may change, but God doesn't. And then third this morning, your degree is optional, but your integrity is not. Say that again. Your degree, your occupation, your job, your place of employment, all of those things, they're optional, but your integrity is not. Let me say it this way. Do not trade your soul for a degree. Do not trade your soul for a promotion. Do not trade your soul to land your dream job. You can trust that you will be tempted to alter your life to impress other people. In fact, when you step into college or you even step into adulthood, you'll experience peer pressure that you could not even have imagined. Your faith is going to be tested. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, be alert, stand firm in the faith. He says it this way at the end of Philippians. He says, stand firm in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, church family. Listen, graduate. Wherever you go, if it's in college or if it's in the real world, find a church. Get involved in that church. Don't just go and attend. Join a life group. Find a small group. Connect with people and grow in godliness with others. The biggest need of your life stepping into college and the biggest need in your life stepping into adulthood is that you find a community of God's people that you can begin doing life with, that can help you look more like Jesus and that you can be used to help them look more like Jesus. But again, I want to remind you, don't trade your character. Don't trade your integrity for a moment of fame. Don't trade your integrity for acceptance or approval from others. Your degree is optional, but your integrity is not. The final piece of advice that I want to share with you this morning is this. Keep Jesus first. Always keep Jesus first. In all things, make sure that Jesus is first in your life. In fact, I would go so far as to say it like this. Make this your mission statement. Make this the reason you live. It's for the glory of the Lord to shine through you and in you to other people. You know, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, this is of supreme importance. In fact, he says, in some of your translations, this is of first importance. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses and he explains the gospel of Jesus. Paul is basically saying the most important thing in my life and the most important thing in your life is to remember who God is and to remember what God has done. Do you remember what God has done? Do you remember and reflect often on the gospel of Jesus Christ? Remember, God sent his son Jesus to live the life that you were supposed to live, but you didn't. You fell into sin. And because you didn't live that life, he then sent his son to die the death that was yours to die. He was perfect. He didn't have any reason to die. But he took your sin on himself and he died in your place so that if you would place your faith and your trust in him, you'd be reconciled to God for all eternity. That's the gospel. Don't ever lose, don't let the gospel ever lose its luster. Continue to reflect on it. Continue to dive deeper into it and make it the most important thing in your life. Keep Jesus first. I love how Paul says it in the book of Colossians. He says it this way. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I want to encourage you this morning. First, your friends may leave you, but God is always present. Your plans may change, but God's doesn't. Your degree is optional, but your integrity, your character, it is not. And fourth and finally, keep Jesus first in all things. Graduates, I want to pray for you now. This is a way for us as a church family in many ways, even for your families at home, to send you out, to commission you into the world. You know, moms and dads, you have done everything you could up to this point in that child's life to prepare them for the next chapter of their lives. They're now ready. They're prepared. And I know that this is a scary thought for you to think, man, my child's not going to be coming in my door every night, and I'm not going to know that they made it home safely. And you're probably wondering, I wonder what professors will begin to influence their thoughts and shape their minds. There's so many things, both for parents and for children, that are scary through the process and the experience of graduation. But one thing is for sure, that these children that you have spent so much time preparing and praying for, it's now time to let them go. It's time to send them out and allow them to do the work that God wants to do in and through them. So I want to pray for you, moms and dads, and I want to pray for your child that God would get glory from their lives and that he'll continue to do the work that he has already started. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for moms and dads who have done everything that they can from a human perspective to disciple, to train, to prepare their children for the next chapter of their lives. And I know that there will be many sleepless nights for both moms and dads, wondering what their child is doing, where their child is at, who their child is surrounding themselves with. Did they go to church? Did they not go to church? Are they going to continue in the faith? Are they going to deviate away from the faith? There's so many emotions that are going to come up in the lives of parents. And I pray today specifically for them that you would comfort them, that you would remind them that your ways are always higher than their ways, that you care for them even more than they do, that you love them even more than they do, and that they will always, if they are children of God, be up under your watch care. And we pray that you'll give them the wisdom that they need to speak truth in their kids' lives when those opportunities arise. And we also pray for those children, young men now, young women now, those who are graduating college, men, women, ready to step into the real world. We pray that you would give them wisdom. There are many things that they're going to face that they have never navigated through before. They're going to have to cook their own meals or at least go to the cafeteria and buy them. They're going to have to actually make the decision to shower and not go 3 days without it. There's so many things now that they're going to have to do without mommy and daddy telling them what to do or what not to do. They're going to have to decide, should I be in this environment or should I not? Should I surround myself with these people or should I not? Should I pursue this with my life or should I not? In fact, most of the major decisions for their life are made in these next 4 years, those who are in college. And we pray that you will give them much wisdom. You tell us that if we'll ask you for wisdom, that you'll give it to us liberally and without reproach. So we pray, God, that you would give it to us liberally, without reproach. That, God, we would be able to discern accurately with the Spirit's prompting what we need to do and what we don't need to do. And that if nothing else, God, you allow these students, these people, to pursue you and to chase after you with the entirety of their hearts, their minds, and their souls. Your commandment, the greatest commandment in Scripture, we're told, is this, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And that we would love others as ourselves. So God, I pray that you allow these students to strategically place themselves in environments where they can shine the light of Jesus Christ into those lives who don't yet know him. I pray that one of the greatest accomplishments of these students' lives will be when they look back after they graduate on their college years, that they'll be able to say, you know what? I discipled him. I discipled her. I led him to Jesus. I led her to Jesus. And they'll be able to see the fruit that was produced out of their lives because they were able to abide in you, trust you, and follow you the entire collegiate years of their lives. Those who are stepping into the real world, surround them. Allow their cubicle to be next to that person who's walking through a dark season of their life. Allow you to show them immediately why they work at the place that they work, why they got the job that they got, because their boss or their coworkers, they need Jesus. And allow them to see their place of occupation, maybe their campus, as a mission field that they can begin to reach for the gospel of Christ. God, all of this, we want it to be done for your glory. We want you to be famous throughout all of the earth. So we pray to that end. We're asking for you to do a work that we're incapable of doing. Start a movement. Start something that only you can start, where men, women, boys, and girls come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior through the graduates of this institution, this church. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A brand new day, and we'll be making history. Are you with me? Won't you stay? We have come so far. This is who we are, and like the rising sun, we have just begun to play our part. This is the time we form the chorus. Lift your voice for those before us. We can rely on one another. Feel the pride, let's show our colors. Show up.